This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Why is it so special? Because the verses we will discuss, Aisha radiallahu anha says in authentic narration, if there's one ayah, one verse the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have hidden from us, it would have been that verse. Why? There's a story behind it. May Allah grant you and I success. Say ameen. And may Allah allow me to present it well and allow you to understand it well and allow both of us to apply well. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So are you guys ready inshallah? Bismillah. Bismillah. I would like to start with a question. Feel free to help me out. And I mention every session, when you guys answer, you actually help me. Like genuinely, you help me. It's like a fundraiser. But I ask for answers. Who's going to answer, right? Five answers. So the more you help me, the more you participate, the easier it is for me and the more entertaining it is. Fair enough? Yalla, bismillah. Do you have someone in your life who you trust so much and you would even take their advice, though it may not make so much sense to you? Are there anyone like that in your life? There is? Who is it, Sheikh? Go ahead. Yes. Your friend Amjad, is he here? Where's Amjad? Raise your hand, Amjad. MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. I want to be his friend now that you said that, right? Excellent. Sisters, anyone in mind, they advise you something like, I don't see how is it going to be successful. And you don't even want to change it or alter it, but you trust him. Who do you have, Maryam? Your neighbor, who is it? MashaAllah, may Allah bless him. Say ameen. Excellent, excellent. Isa. Oh my goodness, this guy's dangerous. He said, Majid Mahmood. I don't know if I'll trust this guy. I got to be honest with you, man. I don't even trust him myself. Excellent. Last one, sisters. Go ahead. Yes. Your sister, Manal. MashaAllah. May Allah. Is she here? Okay. Salimi alayhi. Say salam to her. All right. Oh, take yours. Your mom, MashaAllah. So you trust your mom. She tells you, wear a jacket outside. Like, mom, it's not cold. Like, no, wear it. But she ends up being right. It's cold, right? Even though it's 75 degrees, but subhanAllah, because mom said it's cold, it becomes cold just for you, right? Subhanallah, right? Now, I have people like that in my life. I have Brother Khalid. Brother Khalid comes during times of... Is Khalid here? Khalid is not here. Shiftas Khalid. He sets up things and he just bounces. So Khalid tells me, let's do a weekly lecture on a Sunday in Ramadan. I'm like, you're crazy. Majnoon, right? Nicely. He's like, let's try it. I'm like, I don't know, Khalid. 3 to 5 p.m., 2 hours. Wallah, I don't know if I will show up. I don't know if I will prepare very well. But subhanAllah, there's people in life that you see from their experience that, you know what, I'll take that, we call it leap of faith. I'll trust you. I have some yaqeen in you, certainty, and I'll try. Alhamdulillah, seems successful. May Allah accept. And this is very important. Now, I would like to tell you something. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells you to do something, will we doubt him? And the answer is no. You don't doubt your mom, you don't doubt Sister Manal, you don't doubt your neighbor, you don't doubt Amjad, right? I don't doubt Khalid much, right? Tama, we all make mistakes. But how do you feel when Allah tells you to do this? Do we doubt that? Even though it may not make sense to us, but we rely on Allah's expertise, Al-Khabir. We rely on Allah's knowledge, Al-Alim. We rely on Allah, Al-Qadir, the capable. He knows what he's doing. And above all of that, or with all of that, Allah, Al-Hakim, the all-wise. Fair enough? Zayd radiallahu anhu is a young man traveling with his mom. While they were traveling, and they were not from Mecca, outside of Mecca, Zayd gets kidnapped. When Zayd gets kidnapped, he went and was sold by these robbers, by these thieves, kidnappers, into Souq Uqav. There's a mall known as Uqav. They trade slaves. So when Zayd was there, a man by the name of Hakim ibn Hizam, he purchases Zayd for 400 dirham. He purchases Zayd for who? To Khadija bint Khuwaylid. When she gets this wonderful man, Zayd, and now Zayd is getting older and older, who eventually comes and proposes to Khadija? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This before revelation, before Islam, before Quran. So when the Prophet, peace be upon him, he proposed to Khadija and she accepted him in marriage, she gifted her husband, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zayd. So Zayd now's responsibility is passed on to who? To the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, loved him so much. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him. He treated him very, very, very well. Years and years have passed by. And what's happening in the background? Mom and dad are searching for who? For Zayd, the biological parents. Decades pass by. Some say over 20 years, 20 sana. Eventually, a group of people, they go to Mecca to perform Hajj. And then they see Zayd, and Zayd sees them, and they recognize one another. So Zayd goes to these people that know his mom and dad, and he says to them, go tell mom and dad that I'm in Mecca after all these years. Tell them I'm here. So then the people that came to do Hajj, they went back to their city, and they looked for the actual mom and dad for Zayd. They told him, we found Zayd. Come check him out. So then the father of Zayd, his name is what? Haritha. And Ka'b, the brother of Haritha. So the father and the uncle, Da'am. They go to Mecca with loads of money. Why? Why they have so much money? To buy the freedom, to buy the freedom of their son Zayd. So when they go there and they arrive to Mecca, they ask, Aina Muhammad? Where is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And I want you to emphasize something. This is before any Islam was revealed yet. So then they were pointed, like, in Awfil Masjid. He's around the sacred area, the prayer area near the Kaaba. So when they went to him, they started with an introduction. The father, Haritha, and his brother, Ka'b. And he said, Yabna Sayyid al-Hadha al-Qawm, O leader of this tribe. Yabna Abdul Muttalib, O grandson of the great leader, Abdul Muttalib. O you people who help the needy and you lift the hardship. All this introduction, what are you looking for? We came here for our son. We came here with all the money that you need to free our son Zayd and bring him back to us. Now, remember, Zayd is an adult. He's an older man right now. So then the Prophet said, which son you're talking about? He said, Zayd. He said, if you want your son, I don't take your money at all. But since he's an adult, bring him over. وخيروه. Give him the option. If he would like to stay with me, I'm willing to take care for him for the rest of my life. If he wants to go back, then you take him back and I don't take a penny. They said, Zitta ala nusf. Oh, Muhammad, this is beyond fair. Because it's not something simple that you just gave a servant away. Are you guys with me? This is cause. This is money. This is a commodity. Slaves, trade, and so on. But he said, I want money for that. I love him so much. I treat him very well so much. I don't want no money. You want him back, just take him at no cost. As long as he chooses you over what? Over me. Who comes? Zayd. So Zayd comes. He says, yeah, Zayd, ta'rif ha'ula, do you know these people? He said, yeah, that's my dad and that's my uncle. What a great moment after all these years. So then, yeah, Zayd, your dad and your uncle came and they would like to take you back. You choose. You know me very well. You know your parents, obviously. You know your uncle. You choose what you see best. Zayd says the following statement. He says, ma ana billadhi akhtaru alayka ahada. Zayd said, I would never choose anyone over you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one. He says, wala abi, wala ammi. He says, you are my dad and you are like my mom, you're like my parents. I would never choose anyone over that. When he said this, who reacted? The dad. He's like, why haki ya Zayd? Zayd, what's the matter with your head? You chose slavery over freedom. We're about to free you. He said, dad, uncle, إني قد رأيت من هذا الرجل شيئا ما بالذي أختار عليه أحدا. My dad, uncle, I've seen stuff from this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that something that there's no one has ever done, and I will never choose anyone over him. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, basically the expression that you see what he decided and he chose. And that was a deal that they made. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed the hand of Zayd, and he went to Al-Hijr next to Al-Kaaba and he made an announcement. What was the announcement? From now on, he grabbed Zayd's hand. He said, from now on, Zayd is my son. Adopted. Ibni yarithuni wa arithu. He inherits from me and I inherit from him. And he grabbed his hand. The hadith says, there's a question about the authenticity of it because it's pre-revelation and so on. The parents were happy or sad. They were very happy. They were very happy. Because the one who's now sponsoring him, think of it as a college accepting him. You want to stay in U of M Ann Arbor or you want to go to Harvard? Right? Would he choose this over that? Like, you don't know what I'm getting here. But a better example is with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the parents saw that, طابت أنفسهما, they felt comfortable that now for sure their son is happy under the care of one of the greatest men of Mecca. We're going to go tell his mom and we're going to continue to visit. And now Zayd is pretty much what? A free man. He's no longer a slave. Zayd and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bond was phenomenal. But before I proceed, how can I pass the fact that he chose to be with Muhammad over his what parents, alayhi salam, right? What in the world did Zayd see? You guys help me out. What do you think he saw in the Prophet to make him not just stay with him, to say that no matter who comes, I will never choose him over the Prophet? You tell me I'm going to get a citizenship in, in the UK, full ride scholarship to go to this university. I'm paying tuition to stay here. Like, look at the subhanAllah understanding, right? What did he see from him? Go ahead. Excellent, his akhlaq and his character. His character is what made Zayd radiallahu anhu, his name was known Zayd as Ibn Muhammad, made it very, very beloved to the people. He was so excellent. And that character is what buys hearts, not money. Character usually is what buys people's hearts. There's a very famous statement that says, جُبِلَتِ النَّاسُ إِلَىٰ حُبِّ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهَا. Allah made you in a way, God made you in a way that you incline, you like those who are kind. وَجُبِلَتِ النُّفُوسِ, and you're also inclined to dislike those who are not kind. SubhanAllah, this is how you were made. Sometimes, I'm sure many of you agree, you buy items from someone because of their character, even though you sacrifice some of the quality. Because I trust this man, I trust this woman, yes? Sometimes you go, for example, when you sell, you want to sell an item. طيب, but this customer, you give him a discount, not because, wallah, a relative, because you're so kind, you're so good. Sometimes people, players, excellent athletes, are no longer part of an NFL team, right? And we know some of the players who are not playing. Top-notch wide receivers, right, brothers and sisters? But they have no team. Why? Because of character. So character is your greatest commodity, and that's what you should all invest in, the character. And no matter what character level you have now, no matter how nice and sweet and charming and adorable you may be, and patient and generous and modest and all these things, you should never be satisfied with it. Never ever sit down like, you know what, I'm kind enough. You know what, I'm too nice. La, la, la. No, no such thing. Because the greatest human being, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, God said about him, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You have the greatest of character. He has the greatest. The review was done by Allah. The review of Prophet's character is done by God. But you know what the Prophet said? He used to always ask Allah for what? For more. What was his dua? Oh Allah, beautify my character the way you beautified my physical features. Allahu Akbar. So if he was not content with his level of truthfulness, patience, meaning he wants to grow and grow and grow, then what about us? Agreed? So character is key. The other thing here, you realize every time I emphasize this was before revelation. When revelation came, the greatest of proofs the Prophet had that he's a prophet is actually his character. أعظم دليل أنه النبي من الأنبياء هو خلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The greatest of proof was his character. He never lied before, so why would he lie now? He never cheated before, so why would he cheat now? So for sure, when he says, I'm a prophet of Allah, no one will question his character. That's why I open up all the books of Seerah. When he declared that he's a prophet, not a single human being said, you're a liar. Not one. Even those who hated him. Agreed? What they said was like, you're wasting our time. You're a loser. But no one dared to say what? You're a liar. So this is something very important. How can we relate to this? There's a lot that can be said. Example, politics, right? Voting comes. And don't take this personal. Just relax. Breathe in. Breathe out. And it can get very controversial. We didn't even get started yet, right? Someone who has a horrible history, horrible record, and decides to put his name for you to vote for him. I never seen you in the masjid before. I've never seen you anywhere before. I never seen you help a living being before. I've never seen you in Durbar to begin with. Right? But vote for me and vote for me. And that's when they start to change based on the goals that they want to achieve. We don't question people's intentions. I'm saying generic stuff. Are you guys with me? Something very important. So, also, I want to be very honest with youngsters and elders. Sometimes when you want to change your ways, be patient. you have been messing up so much. You have lied so much. The day you choose to change and say the truth, be patient on your parents because you got them used to that you keep lying. So part of the change is you to be patient in your struggle of you becoming a better person, and you need to be understanding. Just like how this world works. You have been taking a loan and you have debt. You have not been paying the debt. What happens to the credit score? Credit score drops. Next payment you missed. Credit score drops. Third payment, credit score drops and drops. You get calls. Your credit score drops to 500, 450, 300. When you start making a payment, does your score go to 800? No. You need months. You need 6 months, 9 months, a year, until you bring back your credit and your worth, subhanAllah. So that's something to keep in mind from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then Zayd radiallahu anhu, this wonderful man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him so much. So much so that he used to say, "Anta minni, you are from me, I'm from you, we're one. I love you so much." And he used to express that. "Wa anta ahabbu al-qawmi ilay," you're the, one of the most beloved living beings to me. And what do we take from this one? That you don't be shy to express your love and verbalize it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us and he commanded you, right? He said, "Idha ahabba ahadukum akhah, falyu'limah iyyah." He said, if you loved your brother, you loved your sister, not necessarily blood brother and sister, you better love them in a way, right? Sometimes, right? Anyhow. So you see someone that you love and you respect and so on, the Prophet says, go tell them. Literally, go and tell them. Just like the story where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting next to a companion and a man walked by. So then the man told the Prophet, the one sitting next to him, said, "Ya Rasul, you see this man walking? I love this brother." So the Prophet asked him, "Did you tell him?" He's like, "No." Some people like cringe, like, "No, I'm straight. What do you mean, right?" No, he said, "Did you go tell him?" He said, "La, Ya Rasul." He said, "Akhbirhu, go and get up." So imagine he left the scene, he left the setting with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to go and tell him, "Inni uhibbuka fillah," I love you for the sake of, I just love you and for who you are. There's no business between us. I don't say I love you so I can propose to your daughter. Okay, I don't say I love you because I need some worldly gains. I just truly love you for the sake of Allah. So then this man replied the reply which you should reply when someone says, "I love you for the sake of Allah." And he tells him, "What ahabbaka alladhi ahbabtani lah." May the one who you loved me for love you back. Simple. May Allah love you back. Just to make it simple. So I'm not sure if you guys heard, but I felt very bad, subhanAllah, this Ramadan. It was very, very bad. But alhamdulillah, I fell in love with all of you guys. Write notes, brothers. Write notes. That's how it works. Okay? So I love you all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I hope you guys love me back as well for the sake of Allah. Right? Ameen. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eventually, what happened? Years passed by. He became a prophet. And when he became a prophet, where is Zayd? Zayd's still around, right? Even Zayd got married, alhamdulillah. And Zayd eventually has a child. And that child, his name is? That child's name is? Usama. Ahsant. May Allah bless you. Usama ibn Zayd. Now, quick question, trivia question, okay? Who were the first people to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Give me from the woman. The first, Khadija radiallahu anha, correct? Khadija. From the men, tell me the first three men to believe in the Prophet. Give me the first man. Go ahead, all in the back. Abu Bakr, he was the first adult to believe in the Prophet. Give me the second man. Ali is the first young man to believe in the Prophet. Number three, go ahead. Zayd, Ahsant. Zayd ibn Haritha, or known at that time, Zayd ibn Muhammad, radiallahu anhu. See that? Beautiful. So you can clearly see what? This love he had with the Prophet, it continued. That love continued to grow. This is amazing. He didn't say, "Oh man, I should have went with my mom and dad," right? No, I was the first one to believe in you. You're the greatest that ever walked. I know you're going to be a prophet perhaps, right? I felt that you're so special. So Zayd believed in him. And Zayd radiallahu anhu, he grew and grew older until the da'wah, the Islamic call was being spread all over. But then the Prophet's supporters, the internal support Khadija, the external support Abu Talib, they both pass away. And what happens? The Prophet goes to Al-Ta'if to seek refuge, to seek their help, and to seek their assistance. Because his people were what? Hurting him. And it was narrated that the one who went with the Prophet was who? To Al-Ta'if. من ذهب مع النبي في الطائف? Who went with him? Zayd ibn Haritha. And it was narrated that Zayd ibn Haritha, when he went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Al-Ta'if, he was trying to shield him. Why? Did the Prophet not go and seek help from Al-Ta'if? Yes, but they became losers. They start stoning him. The ones he sought help are becoming enemies. So they were stoning him. Who was the one covering the Prophet? Peace be upon him. Zayd ibn Haritha. وَشُجَّتْ رَأْسُهُ. So much so that his head started to bleed, trying to protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A bond unlike any other bond. May Allah protect us and grant us the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say ameen. They have to move to Medina. The command comes, you got to leave Mecca and go to Medina. Emigrate. You have to protect your faith. And who emigrates? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Zayd ibn Muhammad at that time, which is known as Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. Now, when they come to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on a mission to get his adopted son, Zayd, a good wife. Fair enough. And the wife the Prophet, peace be upon him, has in mind, now the Prophet is in his 50s, right? And now he's in Medina, Islam is growing, and he loves Zayd so much, so I gotta pick the best woman for Zayd. Agreed? So he finds a lady. What's her name? Zainab binti Jahsh. Her name is Zainab binti Jahsh. Zainab radiallahu anha, she is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her mom is the Prophet's aunt, Umayma bint Abd al-Muttalib. Very, very prestigious family. Very honorable family from Quraysh. Fantastic. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes to have Zayd to propose to who? Zainab. I have to make sure I get the names right. Right? Is Umar here? Umar, Allah barik fiki. Help me last session. May Allah bless you, Habibi. Ahsant. So Zayd is to get married to Zainab. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just going to have, hopefully, his adopted son marry Zainab. He wants to establish something in the entire society. What's that statement? Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. He wants to make something very clear to all of Medina and all Muslims in the world and all humanity. The greatest one in this gathering is who? The one who's most righteous. The one who's most God conscious. That's greatness. That's how your net worth is calculated. How do you calculate your net worth today? Liabilities plus debt. You combine that. You subtract all that from your assets. That's your net worth, correct? But your net worth with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not that. Your net worth with Allah is based on your piety, based on your taqwa. It's like points that you get points. So brother, can you help us out? What do you mean with taqwa? Very briefly. Taqwa is when you do what Allah told you to do and when you stay away from what things Allah told you to stay away from, right? Many of us play games, okay? We have these points to collect. Even when your internet gets disconnected on Google, what happens? Even Google.com turns into a game. You jump over palm trees, right? Or whatever, right? Even adults, we play at work. Okay, there's no internet. I'm just like, bing, bing, like, right? And then you get to a point and you actually start competing with yourself, right? So this is taqwa. Every obligation you're supposed to do, it's a point. Every prohibition you stay away from, you get a point. So the more you do, the more points that you have. So it has nothing to do or not directly related to what? Money. Fair enough? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to who? To Zainab binti Jahsh. And many times, depending on your culture, this is a cultural thing, not haram or halal, on how you proceed with the proposals. The way the Prophet did it is that he goes to represent who? He representing Zayd. So he goes to Zainab binti Jahsh radiallahu anha, and then he tells her, I would like you to marry my son, Zayd. Zayd? Abad. She said, no way. I would never marry Zayd. I'm sorry. And there's no way. The Prophet is coming to the sister, telling her, I would like you to marry my adopted son, my son. He doesn't even say adopted. Zayd. She said, Abad, la la la. Ana min ashrafi Quraysh. You know me. You know my family, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like, what do you mean, Zayd? I know where Zayd came from. I know he was a slave at one point. I know he's free now, but he's a mawla. What's a mawla? Mawla Nabi, meaning he's someone who was free, who was a slave, and he became free. So his name is, the title is mawla. But he kept talking to her back and forth. See, that's the issue. Zainab has a lot of good qualities, but she had this issue. I don't see myself like I'm from such and such family. You know what's my last name? To go marry someone from that. That's very difficult. I can't. Abate. But she does not perhaps recognize that her rejection has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with physical features, has nothing to do with his skin color, has nothing to do with, it's just simply a last name, simply the tribe that he came from. And sometimes we fall for that. And the Prophet, you guys agree with me, the Prophet would never go to Zainab and tell her, would you marry Zayd, unless he believes it's suitable. Agreed? There's no way. And he's making a statement. I want the world to know, it's okay for you to marry someone who was a slave and now he's a free man. It's fine. But she refuses. And many of us, we fall into this. The Prophet, peace be upon him, pay attention to this hadith. Ready, inshallah? It's very interesting, like really interesting. It's authentic. We know that there's certain babies that spoke. Certain what? Babies. I know I'm fasting, but I know what I'm saying. Some babies did speak. Okay, give me one baby that spoke. Raise your hand. Salah. Ahsant. Jesus, the son of Mary. Isa ibn Maryam. He spoke during the time when he was an infant. Excellent. Baby number two, sisters. Go ahead. Excellent. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. The child of the hairdresser of Pharaoh's daughter. Ahsanti. May Allah bless you. Give me number three. What is it? George. What in the world is George? This is a hadith. Yeah, in Arabic it's Juraij, but in English it's George. So it's a long story. In brief, there was an accusation that took place that George is a bad guy. So then a baby has come. He's like, no, this is the bad guy. True story. Okay, I have a khutbah about it. If you want to check on YouTube, I think Majid Mahmoud put George. I think he actually put George in it. And you'll find it, inshallah. But I want the fourth baby for this one. You know what? You know the fourth baby? Go for it. Oh, Ahsanti, Maryam, mashallah. Ashab al-Ukhdud, right? That's a fourth baby. Excellent. So now there's five babies. Mashallah. Right? Excellent, mashallah, tabarakallah. The Surah al-Buruj, there's also a baby that spoke. Excellent. His mom was struggling. There's a guy who was, he's prosecuting her for her faith. And she was about to hesitate, and her baby said, Mom, stay strong. And she did, mashallah. Okay, the fifth baby. Is that the baby you're going to talk about? The boy and the magician. Is there a baby? Okay, but Ahsanti, it's good. Good try. Ahsanti, may Allah bless you. Right, excellent. You just made a stink. Excellent. Good stuff. May Allah protect you. All right, ready for the fifth baby. Going once. Any babies in the crowd want to speak? Okay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there was a mom that was breastfeeding her baby. And then there was a very handsome man riding on a horse with very nice clothes. And as he was on the horse, the mom said, oh Allah, make my son become like this man. The Prophet said, the baby stopped breastfeeding, looked at who in the world she's making supplications about. Okay. Even the hadith says that the Prophet actually was sucking his finger to explain the hadith, the story. He was sucking the breastfeeding his mom from his mom. Then he left it. Then he looked at that man. Then he said, oh Allah, don't make me like him. What? Oh God, don't make me like this man. Ibni talking to him. Allahu A'lam. I think she attempted to speak, but he never responded. Okay. Then there was a lady who was a slave girl, and she was being beaten up. And they were telling her, Sarakti, Zanaiti, Sarakti, you stole, you committed adultery, you're a loser, you're horrible. So then the mom said, while she's breastfeeding, oh Allah, don't make my child like this woman. He stopped. Oh Allah, make me like this woman. What was that? So then the Prophet says, then she started to actually debate with them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that she told her baby, when I saw that handsome, well-off man walking by, I said, oh Allah, make my son like him. And now you say no. And when I saw that lady who people are accusing her to be a thief, to commit adultery and so on, I said, oh Allah, don't make my child like her. He said, I want to be like her. What are you talking about? So then he responds. He says, as for the man that you wished for me to be like him, he's someone who's a tyrant, Jabbar min al-Jababir. Subhanallah. You got to watch what you ask for, what you wish for. He said, you're just a judge based on what you see. You thought he's great, he's amazing, he's just smiling, and that's what you're judging based upon. No, it's more than just physical features. It's more than just looks. No, he's a tyrant. I don't want to be like a tyrant. As for the woman, then she was someone who was accused of stealing and adultery, but she was innocent. And she was saying, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. And she trusted God and never gave up on God. With all the oppression she's facing, she kept holding tight to the rope of God. And I will never wish to be like this man, but I want to be like this woman. Allahu Akbar. See, when we judge things, we have to judge it according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to look at it. So be careful, be concerned about how you go, and sometimes you rush. May Allah protect us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And there's many hadith regarding this. I'll give you one last one. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go to adults, not babies, okay? But both are authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting next to a companion, and a man passed by. This is very important. We have to embed this in our minds more than any other generation, because we are the generation of social media. We are the generation of that we judge someone based on if they have a blue verified check on their account or not. We judge someone's greatness based on the followers, on the way they post their pictures, or the way they do their videos. And no. You got to be very careful. Imagine he's saying this when there's no social media. What about us? So a man passes by. He says, مَا رَأْيُكَ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ. So the Prophet is asking the companion, what do people say about this man? What's his reputation like? He says, this man, if he ever proposes, look how the brothers are thinking, right? If he ever proposes, he will never be rejected. If he ever allows himself to intercede for someone, like if you put his name in a reference and resume, oh, you got the job. If you put this guy's name on your resume, that's it, you got the job. This man, and if he speaks, everybody listens, no matter how boring, people listen. So the Prophet fasakat, he remained silent, he didn't comment. Then another man passed by. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, and what do you guys say about this man? He said, this brother, this is not backbiting, right? It's not backbiting. So he says, O Rasulullah, as for this man, he will never get married. Rejected. He's faqir, he's poor, he's broke. No, and if he ever like wants to hook up someone, like you know, help someone, no one will take him serious. And if he ever speaks, no one will listen to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wallahi, this second man is better than had the whole earth be filled with the first man. Now one more time. That second man is more valuable to Allah, is better in the sight of Allah, not than the first one. Like, oh, really better than the first one? That's enough of a shock. Not times 10. No, he said, had the whole earth be populated with the first individual in comparison to that second one, the second will outweigh in greatness than the first one. Allahu Akbar. This is how things work. May Allah grant us righteousness. So all this to set up what the Prophet is doing when he goes to Zainab, marry my son Zayd. So then Zainab said, no, I don't want to do it. Lest tu bi nakihatih. No, Ya Rasulullah. No way. While they're discussing what happens, revelation comes. Can you imagine? They're talking. Then God sends revelation. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran? Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ. I'm not sure if I have it here. Forgive me. Inshallah, next one I'll have it here for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ. It is not befitting for a believing man or a believing woman. إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It's not befitting when Allah and the Messenger, Prophet of Allah, when they tell you to do something and you make it like, you know what, let me adjust it. Let me change it. I don't want to actually do it. Can I just postpone it? No. If he tells you, Allah says, if I tell you and the Prophet tells you, you need to do it. That's what you have to strive, that I need to do exactly what I was told to do. Then Allah says, وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. And if you choose not to, and you disobey God's commands, and you disobey the Prophet, then you have definitely went on the wrong path. You think that you chose what's better for you, right? I don't want to wake up for Fajr. It's not good for my body. I got to work at 8 a.m. No, no, you just ruined your body for not waking up at 5. Subhanallah. So never does God choose something for you except that it's better than whatever you would choose for your own self. And sometimes God makes it easy for you to choose for you. You agree or not? Sometimes you get confused. And when Allah puts things for you, like alhamdulillah, it makes my life easy. Like for example, when I wear my clothes, I try to delegate that. I don't want to wait and look at the closet and think that I wear this and I go on YouTube. What was my last video? Even clothing can get you to struggle. Clothing. Imagine, that's why I tell people that have, you know, uniforms for school. I think it's very easy, right? And I went through uniforms. I was crying. Now I'm an adult. I say it's easy. But I remember I used to cry. I used to literally cry. And I remember one time, may Allah forgive us, we had a fire extinguisher in the car. It was a big SUV. And it was a front passenger seat. And then my mom said, you have to wear the uniform. I'm like, mama, well, no one said anything day one. You know what I mean? Like, you have to wear the uniform. So I remember I was so angry. I was hitting the fire extinguisher, and then it opened in the car. Then the car stopped, and my mom ran out, and I ran away. In the middle of the road, subhanAllah, it was a disaster, and we took a cab back home, and they had to clean the entire car and the filter, all that for wearing the uniform. Okay, so all you who struggle, I feel you. Okay, but trust me, it's a lot easier for you. May Allah protect us. Ya Rab. The parents know what happens on color day every Friday. Ya Allah. Mama, check this out. No, it's not right. Anyway, let's go. Haram. Tight. Anyways, let's move on. So here, Allah says, if I tell you to do something, do it. Otherwise, you get in trouble. So then Zainab bint Jahsh, what happens to her? She sees this now as an obligation. This is not normal. Like when the Prophet obligates you to pray, but obligates me to marry someone I don't want? Are you guys with me? This is not the norm. But you have to believe something. It definitely is good. Agreed? God will never tell you to do something that is bad for you. So then Zainab radiallahu anha, she tells the Prophet, قَدْ رَضِيتُهُ لِيَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. You see him suitable for me after the verse was revealed? Suitable? He said, نعم. She said, إِذَنْ لَا أَعْصِ اللَّهِ وَلَا رَسُولَهِ. Then I will not disobey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she, فَرَضِيَتْ وَسَلَّمَتْ. I like that. She was pleased and she surrendered. And that's Islam. استسلمت, surrendered. Islam, you submit, you surrender. Some stuff Allah tells you, it's against your desires, right? It's against your wish, but you know it's the best for you. It happens in school, assignment to this, do question 1, 2, and 3. No one ever tells the students, hey guys, I know Miss Arif Williams, she told us to do question 1, 2, and 3, but in my opinion, we'll do 4, 5, and 6. It's a lot better for your health, and it's a lot easier, and you get a better grade. If you do 4, 5, and 6, and then you go to Miss Williams, like, Miss Williams, here's the assignment. I know it's a simple example. What does Miss Williams will do to you? A nice, big, wide, lengthy zero. All that to avoid the word fat. Right? A big zero. Because I told you, I'm the teacher. I went to school, I did my bachelor's, I took the certification. I'm a certified teacher by the public schools and my credentials over an assignment. They don't worry about life and about death and about the afterlife. Agreed? So then she said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I will accept. Now there's something very important for you guys to note here. Number one, it doesn't always happen that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forces people to get married to certain people. Agreed? I'll give you an example. One time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this authentic narration, he's speaking to his uncle Al-Abbas. Why is he speaking to his uncle? Because he saw a scene that grabbed his attention. There's a guy, his name is what? Mughith. And there's a lady, her name is Barira. So then Mughith was walking behind Barira crying, Ya Barira, وَبْتَلَّتْ لِحْيَيْ. Like he cried so much that his beard became wet. Wow, why? He wants her back. Oh, I know, right? And that's actually how the Prophet ﷺ felt, literally. He actually felt that way. So man, he's like, Barira, please, whatever you want, I'll do whatever you need, come back. Okay, let me tell you a quick background to understand the story. So, desperate, it's okay, haram alayk, like he's desperate, I mean, man up. No. Actually, one of the benefits of this hadith, okay, just a benefit, we don't go into depth here, but one of the benefits of this hadith is that the Prophet did not criticize Mughith for how much he loved Barira. SubhanAllah, he didn't create aside because he didn't cross the boundaries. Like his love was controlled. Like he did cry, but he didn't like, you know, grab her, force her, anything like that. He didn't start accusing her of things. Oh, you don't want to be with me? I'll make sure you don't never get married. He never pulled some magic against, you know what I mean? So he was able to control. He was in pain, but the Prophet didn't criticize that. So anyhow, basically, Barira and Mughith both were slaves, okay? And Barira, she was able to free herself. So she collected some money. Some people helped out. Some say even Aisha helped her out. She collected money and paid her master to free her. And Islam was very much promoting what? Freeing slaves, free slaves, as much as possible. Even when you do something wrong, the way God forgives you is that you free a slave had you had one. That's how much Islam was promoting that. So in Sharia, if someone, I know it's a bit, I don't know why I went this way, but yeah, that's okay. So if there's two slaves are married and one of them becomes freed, the woman in this case has the option to remain as a wife or choose to be separated. It's actually an option in Islam. Fair enough? So Barira, she had an option to either stay with Mughith or to actually leave him. That's it. She's allowed. So now when the Prophet saw Mughith crying like that, the Prophet went to who? To Barira. But before he went to Barira, he told something to his uncle Al-Abbas. What did he say? Ya Abbas, have you ever seen someone love someone the way Mughith loves Barira? And have you ever seen someone hate someone the way Barira hates Mughith? So then the Prophet ﷺ, he went to who? Barira. He said, ya Barira, do you think we can work things out between you and Mughith? Anything we can help out? Maybe something is missing. Anything I can do to bring you guys back together? What's the moral of the story? What she said. She said, ya Rasulullah, ata'muruni? Is this an obligation? Look at her faith. You have to appreciate her greatness, wallahi. As much as she hates him. But she told the Prophet, are you commanding me? Is this like a command, like a religious command? Then I'm in. Then I'll go back to him. He said, la, no, it's not. I'm just trying to reconcile. That's it. She's like, since you're not obligating me, فَلَا حَاجَةَ لِي فِيهِ. Unbelievable. She said, then I don't need him. It's like, okay, it is what it is, right? So what's the point here? There's a lot of lessons. But the point being, he didn't enforce her. But in Zainab, subhanAllah, what did this tell you? There's a wisdom behind it. Are you guys with me? There's a wisdom behind it. So let's proceed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this verse tests your faith, by the way. You agree? Like sometimes, like how religious am I? How close am I? How God conscious am I? This verse tells you. Agree or not? I got to wake up for Fajr. I'm not into it. Okay, this tells me a lot about you. Right? How do you, for example, dress? Tells a lot about you. How do you speak? Says a lot about you. God says, don't backbite. I still backbite. It says a lot about you. And that's something to appreciate and put yourself into that check. And that's why the greatest generation are the Sahaba. I'll mention these two examples and we take a short break. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, the revelation came that alcohol is prohibited. Al-Khamr, haram. No longer allowed to drink alcohol. Well, how did it take place? One time, Anas ibn Malik was pouring alcohol for Talha radiallahu anhu and some great companions. So a man says, hey, revelation came. Alcohol is not allowed anymore. Alcohol is haram. Alcohol is prohibited. A revelation has come. Talha told Anas, destroy all the barrels. Empty all the barrels with the alcohol. He didn't say, well, my body got used to the alcohol, so if I take a couple sips, I won't get drunk. So maybe this revelation are for those that take... Khalas, it's prohibited. You see that? Don't try to justify it. Allah said, stop it. What made him so great is that they stopped it when? The moment they heard. The moment. Even one narration says that the roads of Medina became like rivers of alcohol. SubhanAllah. You have the example. One of the amazing examples is Ali ibn Abi Talib. An authentic hadith. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu in the battle of Khaybar against the Yahud. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a struggle to go beat them. It was a very, very difficult battle at the beginning. They have a very strong fortress. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, today I will give the banner to someone whom Allah and his Prophet love. Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, that was the one time in my life I wanted leadership. One more time. The Prophet said, I will give the banner to someone whom Allah and his Prophet love. So Umar was like, man, I got ready for this. I want this. He never sought leadership. But for this one, someone God loves and the Prophet loves, I want that leadership. But then the Prophet gave it to who? He gave it to Ali ibn Abi Talib. says, Ya Ali, here we go. So he told Ali, and pay attention. He says, Ya Ali, I want you to go straight to the fortress. Okay, wala taltafit. Wala ish? Taltafit. Don't turn. Don't turn your head. Nor right, nor left. Don't go back. Straight to that fortress until Allah allows you to conquer it. Ready? He grabbed the banner. He's walking towards the fortress. What happens? Ali has a question. The hadith says, Ali, when he asked the question, sarakh, he yelled it out loud. Why? Because he does not want to turn and tell the Prophet the question. Did you see that? فَلَمْ يَلْتَفِتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى مَاذَا أُقَاتِ The Prophet is there in the back. Oh, Prophet of Allah, on what, how should I fight them? Just turn and ask. لَا, he said, لَا تَلْتَفِتْ, don't turn. So I don't want to turn. And someone like him conquered Khaybar. Allahu Akbar. You see that? Greatness upon greatness upon greatness. Phenomenal stories out there. But now, there's a wisdom behind it. The Prophet gets some inspiration, gets some information from Jibreel alayhi salam that will perhaps shake the community. And before that, it shook the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now he's seeing, why did God obligate this marriage to go through? What's the reason? What's the inspiration? What is he knowing that he has yet to share? All of that, inshallah, after the break. Bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جزاكم الله خير. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, on behalf of Zayd, went to ask for the hand of Zaynab. Eventually, it became an obligation, as Allah revealed in one of the understandings of the verse. And then Zaynab accepted وسلمت, and she surrendered to Allah's command, and she was completely fine and okay with it, and she married Zayd. However, the marriage was not working out well. There's a lot of fights, a lot of argumentation. Some narrations suggest that Zaynab was not able very much to overcome that sense of pride that she had, that I'm from such and such family, and I know where you came from, you're a slave at the end of the day. At one point, she really struggled with that, and he really struggled to handle that. So then he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he started to complain. Oh, Prophet of Allah, which is like his dad, right, as well. I can't do this. So the Prophet tells him, ittaqillah. Ya Zayd, fear Allah regarding this wife that you have. Be conscious of Allah. Be patient. وَأَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكْ Hold tight to her. Try to work things out. Try. Keep trying. And then Zayd goes away. But then, as I ended in the session, just the previous session, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam now is getting to know why this whole thing came about. The following points are being shared with him. It's not revelation yet. Sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam can have like ilham, like an inspiration, but not an actual revelation. Of the things that some scholars have said that he received, number one, Zayd will eventually divorce Zaynab. So it's very sad. Number two, Allah is about to send a ruling that changes a cultural practice that is wrong. What's that cultural practice? It's treating adopted kids as biological kids. No, you love them. You care for them, you spend on them, everything stays the same, love, respect, and all that stuff, but they cannot be held at the standard of biological kids. There's a lot of wisdoms behind it. For example, they cannot inherit the way your son and actual daughter inherits. They cannot, the adopted child that you have, Zayd is an adult. He cannot be around your wife without a hijab, for example, right? Hijab was not revealed yet. So these things, the laws have to be adjusted as an adopted child and should not be treated as a biological child. So that's news number one, is very sad that they'll be divorced, Zayd and Zaynab. Number two, the Prophet is about to get this command. Eventually, we have to tell the people that adoption has to be done in a way that they're not biological treatment, which is very difficult. Why? Because many people have done it in Medina. Many people have done it in Mecca. And it's very, very difficult. It's not easy to change that. Number three, Allah wants the Prophet to be an example of that. What do you mean? If a man has a son, a biological son, who's married to a woman, that woman becomes mahram to that father-in-law, correct? Because it's a biological son. But if it's not a biological, if any man has some young man married to another woman, this woman will always be not a mahram for him, correct? She has to wear the hijab in front of him and so on. So now, Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ when Zayd divorces Zaynab, I want you to marry Zaynab. So the Prophet ﷺ, it's already difficult to tell the world, it's very difficult to tell the world, all your adopted kids, respect them, love them, nothing changes. But there's certain matters that have to be adjusted. They cannot be treated as what? What's the word? Biological sons and daughters. So basically, if an adopted son divorces his wife, that wife is halal for that one who is adopting them to marry. And the Prophet has to be the example for that. And this is going to be very tough. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happens not too long after this? Zayd comes back. Now the Prophet knows what? Zayd will eventually divorce Zaynab. So Zayd starts to complain, Ya Rasulullah, I can't do this. Ya Muhammad, O Prophet of Allah, it's so difficult. So what does the Prophet tell him? Ittaqillah, fear Allah, hold tight your wife. Right? Hold tight your wife. Do whatever is necessary to stay husband and wife. It's very difficult what will happen. So then eventually, what happens? Zayd could not handle Zaynab. Could not. She's just too difficult for him to handle. Both have some good qualities. Zayd is obviously a phenomenal man. But eventually Zayd divorces who? Zaynab. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a verse. This verse is as follows. Allah says, وَمَا جَعَلَ أَدْعِيَاءَكُمْ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ. There's some cultural practices that are about to be shaken. This is like decades of people doing it. So Allah says, Allah does not regard your adopted children as your biological children. So now, they cannot inherit you. They cannot be like as a mahram to your daughters, as an example for the son. But can an adopted child, for example, or any person, can you have in your will a wasiyah to give him some of your money when you pass away? Can you do that? And the answer is yes. Not just yes, it is possible for you to give your adopted child, your foster child, or someone, more money than what the actual biological children can inherit. It's possible. How? Because you can give wasiyah, you can, in your will, you can give up to 1/3 of your wealth to someone. 1/3. So let's say the Prophet wants to give 1/3 to Zayd and he has like 10 children. The 10, when they divide amongst them, they will not have the 1/3. You see that? So subhanAllah, something to truly appreciate here. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said this, the next part, ذَلِكُمْ قَوْلُكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ. Allah saying, don't you tell me, oh, I've been adopting him for years. He's just like my son. No, you can't say that no more. How many of us say this here in Dearborn, in Michigan, in the States? We've been together since we were 3 years old, Baba. Right? I want to play with her. She wants to play with me. Habib, you're 23. Unless the two is silent, yani. Right? So, like, yeah, we're always together. I'll never marry her. Ew. La ya Habib, ew now. Tomorrow's not ew. Are you with me? So Allah says, أَلَيْكُمْ قَوْلُكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ. These are things that you say with your tongue. But in reality, things change. The way Allah created an actual blood brother, an actual blood sister, Allah made us in a way that there's no that such attraction. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab. Right? But you cannot do that when there's an actual adopted child. So you have to be very careful. Right? So someone says, you know what, I want to be, for example, in a car with this person. Oh, he's young or she's young or he's very old. Okay. Be very careful. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, never is a man and a woman alone except who? Who's third? The devil is a third. Never is a man and a woman alone except the devil is a third. So I give some advice. Okay, I'm not saying it's haram or halal. But even if you go to the hospital, you go to a room, and then let's say a brother gets his blood pressure checked. A woman comes in, a young woman. I ask the door to stay open. I want the door to be open. That's my preference. Oh, you're weird. No, I'm not weird. Okay, I'm normal. Okay, khalas. That's what Rasulullah sallam advised. I just want to take the advice as much as I can. And especially in masalan, if someone that comes and said someone, for example, is young. And I remember one time I did that. Sometimes the lady comes, she's like, no, I'm not doing that. She slams the door. I'm like, now I want to open. Well, sometimes they take it so personal, right? I remember I told the person, the nurse, she came in. I said, if you mind, just open the door just a little bit. It's okay. She's like, there's a lot of sensitive information. I'm like, they can Google me. They know everything. All right, Social Security is $900. You get it. It's okay. I get your Social Security number, where you live, and all the good stuff. LLCs, you just name it. May Allah protect us. See, I mean. So the point being is that you have to be very careful. ذَلِكُمْ قَوْلُكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ. And look what Allah says. Very nice. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ الْحَقَّ وَهُوَ يَهْدِي السَّبِيلِ. Allah is telling you what's right, and He's guiding you to the right thing. It's painful. It's difficult. Allah knows you've been doing it for the longest time, but I'm telling you what's right for you. And subhanAllah, there's an article here where I took the statement that says, according to the American Society of Pediatrics, adoption should not be a secret. That's what they're advising you, subhanAllah. Adoption should not be a secret. Every youngster needs to have an honest understanding of his origin or her origin. Adopted children who have not been told seem to sense that somehow they're different. This nagging intuition can influence their self-image, and the longer you wait, the harder it will be to discuss it with your child. So Allah doesn't want you to go tell your adopted child at 30 years old or 25 and sensing, why do I look different? Why am I slightly being treated different? Why when I'm sick, you feel bad, but not the way you feel bad for my sister, right? SubhanAllah. So all these things too, truly appreciate. May Allah grant us wisdom and strength. Amin Rabbil Alameen. But what does this mean? What does this mean? What should we call Zayd? So Zayd ibn Muhammad, he's known as Zayd, the son of Muhammad. Now the name changes to what? Allah says, ادعوهم لآبائهم هو أقسط عند الله. I know it's a bit technical, but it's good for us to know. Allah says, call them based on their actual father's name. So now Zayd ibn Muhammad is no longer Zayd, the son of Muhammad. Remember a long time ago, he's my son? Ibn Umar said, we used to always, for decades, Ibn Umar, authentic hadith, he said, for decades, we called him Zayd, the son of Muhammad, Zayd, until this came, this verse. And now he's called Zayd, the son of Haritha. You see that? Isn't it sad? You know how Zayd feels? The Prophet loves him just the same, right? The Prophet loves him so much. So the Prophet is, without a doubt, he's in pain for Zayd. Without a doubt, he's concerned. But now, what happens? So number one, what did I mention to you? They will divorce. It happened? Yes. Number two, you got to beware how you treat adopted kids versus biological kids. There's some rules that have to be adjusted. I know it's difficult culture. Does Islam take culture into consideration? Well, Islam is against culture. Which one is it? Islam is with or against culture? Who thinks it's with? Who thinks it's against? Who doesn't know? Who has no culture? Right? It's a culture, bro. It's a culture, right? Islam actually sometimes does not just take culture into consideration. Sometimes Islam commands you to take culture as a reference that from right and wrong. Wow, yes. It's very, Islam takes culture very seriously. But there's certain cultural things that Islam says, for this one, no. So then what happened next? Allah says, ادعوهم لآبائهم هو أقسط عند الله. And now Zayd understands. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Zayd what Allah's sharing with him. And I need to now marry who? Your ex-wife. So Zayd, an authentic narration, is not just on the same page. Zayd is the one who will do what the Prophet did. La, are you serious? Zayd will be the one that goes to Zainab and telling her that I'm coming on behalf of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking for your hand. Ya sahaba. Companions. Now we rip the pictures, we destroy them, we burn them, right? I hate her, right? And then I'll get an arrow and you just shoot at the photo. May Allah protect us, right? This is the dunya that we live in. A player, Kevin Durant, leaves OKC, goes to Golden State Warriors, they burn his jersey, right? Just like, subhanAllah, human beings. May Allah protect us. But now Zayd, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ tells him, go ahead and talk to Zainab on my behalf. So Zayd, radiallahu anhu, he says, I went to Zainab and I saw her and she was cooking, like doing something with a dough. And he said, when I saw her, ta'azamat fi ayni, like I remembered the Prophet proposing to her, so I avoided looking, subhanAllah. Then he told her, I'm coming on behalf of the Prophet. He's asking you for your hand. Was that not worth it? Right? There's wisdom behind everything. But what does he say? Who knows? Sisters, a man comes to propose to you. What do you usually do? Brother, that's pretty personal. You pray istikhara. That's what you do, right? You ask God for help. Relax. So you pray, like, let me do istikhara. And just advice for the sisters, if a guy comes, you just don't like him for whatever reason, just blame it on istikhara. Tell him, I prayed, I don't feel comfortable, I don't know, istikhara, I don't know. Just blame it on istikhara, okay? So she actually told Zayd, radiallahu anhu, she said, yeah, Zayd, let me, until I consult with God, I want to do istikhara. She did her istikhara, she prayed to raka'at to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah revealed the response. Zawwajnakaha. Allah revealed that, imagine, wallahi, imagine. I know it's just so unique, it's just unbelievable. Allah revealed Muhammad and Zainab are now husband and wife. Where are the witnesses? No need. Where's her father, her wali, her guardian? No need. Who got them married? Allah. Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet in the hadith, authentic, he walked into Zainab with no one, no need for her father being involved or anything like that, because Allah got us married. And don't think this is bad, because Zainab took a home run with this. The rest of the wives, she used to tell them, authentic, she's like, all of you women, Aisha, radhiallahu anha, right? There's another Zainab, all of them, Sauda, all of them. All of you guys got married because your dad came and your mom got involved. But you know who got me married? Allah. Aisha said she used to brag so much about this. Wallahi haqqa, she said right, subhanAllah. But see, that's when you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She did not see the wisdom. I don't like Zayd. I don't see it suitable. I don't see no compatibility. But she obeyed Allah. She obeyed the Prophet of Allah. And she got the greatest thing she can imagine. I'll tell you something. I don't think she actually imagined that. You agree with me? It's beyond her imagination that she's now, Zainab binti Jahsh is what? Mother of the believers. Ummul Mu'mineen. SubhanAllah. Surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, Zayd struggled, but there's something profound I'll share with you about Zayd. Zayd got a lot of good stuff too. Ready? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ تَقُولُ الَّذِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. Now this is the verse explaining what I just said. Ready? Bismillah. Allah says, when you told, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you told the one whom Allah has blessed, who is that man? Zayd. What did Allah bless Zayd with? Islam. Allah says, when you tell the one whom I have blessed, meaning Zayd, I blessed him with what? Meaning Islam. So just by this, what does it tell you about Zayd? Just this. He's what? Tell me, help me. Sa'idin. What does it tell you about Zayd? Help me. Ahsant, he's a good Muslim. Allah says, I blessed him. So if Allah says a good Muslim, no one in their world will open their mouth against him. Sah? So isn't that a manqaba? Isn't this a nice status? Allahu Akbar. So it didn't even start yet. Then Allah says, وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَىٰ. And you, Muhammad, also favored him or also blessed him in terms of freeing him when he was a slave. You took care of him. You were next to him. You were very beloved to him, and so on and so forth. Then Allah says, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ. You used to tell Zayd, Allah says, you used to tell Zayd, stay with your wife, okay? Fear God. Do whatever is necessary to fix this marriage. You used to say that. And Allah quotes exactly what the Prophet used to say, because the Prophet is what? Check the next part. وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكْ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ. And you were, Ya Muhammad, Allah is rebuking him, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's very firm. This is the ayah. This is the ayah that Aisha said in authentic hadith. If there's one verse the Prophet would have not shared with the world, is this one. Because how much Allah was what? Rebuking the Prophet. Why were you concerned? Why were you nervous? Why were you that? Why did you hide in your heart like that? And you know Allah is going to make it happen. وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكْ بَاللَّهُ مُبْدِي. You know for a fact you're concealing what Allah will what expose eventually. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? وَتَخْشَ النَّاسُ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى. And you're concerned about what people will say when you're supposed to be very concerned about what God will say. Allah, very powerful for all of us. Agreed? Many times in life, whether in a wedding, whether in a school, whether at a job, what happens? I get in trouble. Excellent. So then, let me address it after, inshallah. So where was I? It was a marriage question, so it threw me off. I'll marriage, istikhara, how many rak'at, what should I say? All that stuff, right? Okay. وَتَخْشَ النَّاسَ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى. And you're concerned about what people will say when you're supposed to be concerned about what God will say. And it happens at work, it happens in marriages, in weddings. How many times I remember this one man, he was having his wedding and he did it in a way that is not pleasing to Allah. Like clearly, like almost non-negotiable. So why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? He's like, everybody's nagging. I just want to please people just a few hours. Ghala, that's not right. You're concerned what people will say about you. No, you should be concerned what Allah will say about you. And I want to give you a rule of thumb through a hadith. And inshallah, you and I will remember it for the rest of our lives. Ready? Ready, inshallah? Listen to this. And please take it right in your heart, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you happen to come across an action that if you were to do, would be pleasing to God, but at the expense of displeasing people. Sometimes you come in life, where you come to an intersection in life, that I have to make a decision. This decision will make God happy, but will make the people angry. May Allah make it easy for us. And I hope we don't go through that, but sometimes we have to, right? It happens at work. When I was at work, I remember we had this whole happy hour thing with alcohol. So they all were to go to a bar, come along with us. So I say, you know what? It's difficult. But I say, no, I can't make it. Right? Will you get a promotion? God knows best. Will you be treated the same? God knows best. But you come to a point, you have to make a decision. Please the people, but displease Allah, or vice versa. So look what the Prophet said. If you choose to please Allah, and it happens that you displease the people, two things happen. Number one, Allah will be pleased by you. Wallahi, that's enough. Agreed? This is enough of a blessing and a fruit that you obey Allah and He'll be pleased by you. Then he said, and eventually the people that they were displeased, they will eventually be pleased by you. Allahu Akbar. I remember this one example. Let's go back to weddings, since it's about marriage now. There was a family, they were having their wedding, and they want to go all out, but they said, you know what, we're going to separate it. Let the women have fun, do their thing, do their dancing. The guys do their thing, do their dancing, whatever, besides talking about music now, okay? So then one uncle, I remember this, one uncle said, I don't want to even show up to this wedding. He was so disappointed in his niece. I don't want to be there. And then eventually, this man, he came to the wedding, and he told me personally, this was one of the best weddings I've ever went to. So what's the moral of the story? The hadith. He was very upset. Allah, inshallah, is happy. The one who was upset eventually became happy. You see that? Then the other half of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, and whoever does an action that you know Allah's not happy, but you'll make people happy, you think, then Allah will be angry at you. And wallahi, that's enough of a punishment. Agreed? Not just that, and Allah will cause the people you try to please, they themselves will not be happy. And you lost two, dunya and akhirah. May Allah protect us. Right? SubhanAllah, sometimes what happens, may Allah make it easy for all of us. You know, since we're picking up with this example, a sister who wears modest clothing, wears her hijab and everything, some cultures, what do? See, the culture that clashes. She takes off her scarf in the wedding, correct? In front of men. Why you do that, sister? It's just one night. This is my culture. Now, this culture cannot be accepted. So what happens? That same woman who did this, took off her hijab to please the crowd, they will be the first ones to criticize her updo. Right? And her bilyaj, and oh, you see her highlights? Rotten. Look at the roots. I can see the roots. How do you know this, brother? Don't worry about it. Because I had long hair one day, alhamdulillah. Right? No, my sister is a hairstylist. Now, may Allah protect us. So my point being, the first ones you try to please, they end up being, subhanAllah, the first ones to criticize you. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should be don't be concerned about people, be concerned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, the story, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِنْهَا وَطَرًا. When Zayd totally lost interest in his wife, at that time Zaynab. What do you notice here? The first three words. Here, first three words. What do you notice? We have to take our time because we have to give Zayd some love. What do you notice? Go ahead. So when Zayd, so what's special? Okay, brother, you're making it weird, right? What's special in Maryam? Zayd is the only companion mentioned by name in the Quran. If you're no longer Zayd, the son of Muhammad, know that your name will be stamped in the Quran till the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Not even Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is in the Quran. Not Ali is in the Quran. Not Umar is in the Quran. Not Uthman is in the Quran. May Allah be pleased by all of them. The only Sahabi is Zayd. Can you imagine you get good deeds for saying Zayd? Zayd, 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 Zayd. Don't do that. Don't do that bid'ah stuff, right? But you imagine if you mention his name, you get good deeds. Allahu Akbar. So yes, you're no longer Zayd, the son of Muhammad, because of the adoption change or the rules of changing. You're Zayd ibn Haritha, but your name will be in the Quran till the day of judgment. What's the honor? What value? And this is an example of Zayd submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he himself proposing on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, let me go quickly on through the verses. Allah says, وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. We have caused you, ya Muhammad, to marry her. Why? Does Allah tell you the wisdom? Does Allah tell you the wisdom? Does Allah always tell you the wisdom? Yes or no? Does Allah always tell you the wisdom? The answer is no. Does he tell you here? Yes. He clearly says, the reason I made it happen, لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنَ حَرَجٌ فِي أَزْوَاجِ أَدْعِيَائِهِمْ. I did that so there will be no blame on the believers for marrying the ex-wives of their adopted sons after their divorce. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares with you a few more verses. مَا كَانَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. There's no blame on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for doing what Allah has ordained. Now what Allah is doing is defending him. You know why? Because people are talking. He got married to his daughter-in-law. Ew! Hey, munafiqeen, hypocrites. So Allah is defending him. And how beautiful Allah defends. And Allah can defend you as well, inshallah. Allah can defend you. But hold tight to the rope of Allah, which is the Quran. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ فِي الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِ. This is the way Allah established this thing. وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا what? مَقْدُورًا. When Allah decrees something, Brother Islam just asked me a question. What is decreed? When Allah decrees something, it means it will happen no matter what. Right? طبعاً دعاء can change the qadr in ways. Then Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَخْشَوْنَ. Those who basically give da'wah, share the knowledge. And this ayah shows me something very profound. No matter how embarrassing the Prophet it was to him, that Allah said that he had and he was concerned about the people, he still told us, correct? This shows you how truthful he was. That if I was wrong, I will tell the world this is what Allah said and nothing will be held back. May Allah protect us and grant us truthfulness. Say ameen. Then look at this. وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. They fear no one. These prophets, they fear no one but Allah. And the Prophet feared no one but Allah because he shared with us the verse. Do you fear people more than Allah? أعوذ بالله, it sounds haram. Do you fear people more than Allah? Sometimes you have to ask this question to yourself. Why did I fail in this point? Why did I do this? I know it was wrong. Did I really get scared from my manager at work that I was willing to do the haram? So does that mean? It maybe means we don't understand Allah good enough. It may mean that we don't know God's punishment good enough. It may mean we don't know Allah's reward good enough. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Ready for this? He said, of the greatest forms of jihad, jihad, the greatest and the noblest of fighting is when you speak a word of truth in the face of an unjust ruler. It's scary. May Allah grant us strength. Say ameen. And the Prophet said, if you cannot change an evil thing with your hand, then change it with what? With your tongue. If you can't change it with your tongue, then change it with your. And that's the weakest of faith. Meaning your minimum, if you see something that is wrong, please, in the States, in America, many times we cannot change an evil with our hand, correct? Well, can you? May Allah protect us. Beware. And sometimes if you say things verbally, you also get in trouble. And then the minimum is when you see it, your heart has to reject it. Your heart should not celebrate it. Your heart should not support it. That's the minimum. So don't come and do the absolute opposite. Look what the Prophet said. Ready? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَحْقِرَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ نَفْسَهُ. Don't you ever belittle yourself. Don't put yourself down. أَنْ يَرَى أَمْرًا لِلَّهِ فِيهِ مَقَالٍ. To see a matter which is wrong in the sight of Allah. فَلَا يَقُولُ فِيهِ. And you don't say anything about it. It's wrong. It's haram. And you don't do anything. You don't take action. You don't clarify. You do not advise. You remain silent. Then on the day of judgment, Allah will bring that person and will ask him, مَا مَنَعَكْ. Why did you not say something? You saw what that man did and you know it's wrong. A fact, it's not a difference of opinion. Why did you speak to this woman who did that wrong? Why? مَا مَنَعَكْ. Then the person says, مَخَافَةَ النَّاسِ. Because I was worried about people. I was worried about what people will say. Then Allah says, فَإِيَّايَ كُنْتَ أَحَقَّ أَنْ تَخَافِ. You were better off being concerned about me, not the people. May Allah protect us, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. Very strong. You know, authentic hadith, one sahabi, he heard this. When he heard this, he was shaken. So he said, the moment I verified this authentic hadith, he said, I went to Muawiyah and I filled his ears with advice. Radiallahu anhum. He said, why? Because I have to say, because some things about Muawiyah, I need to advise him, 1, 2, and 3, authentic hadith. So sometimes you have to have that courage to speak. And wallahi, many times you will be surprised at how people will appreciate it, correct? Remember the example I gave you not too long ago? Actually, now COVID made everything pause. It was a long time ago. The example that I was in the airplane. Remember that for those that went to Risala series too long ago? I was flying from Detroit to Atlanta. And then I said I was in the middle seat. And may Allah be with those in the middle seat. Remember? And then, so the person in the flight attendant comes like, well, I would like to drink. So then I asked for water, no ice. And then the one next to me, she asked for alcohol. So usually, when the flight attendant passes on the drink, if the person is far, you help and reach out. So the guy was like doing, I'm not helping this one. Because in Islam, you can't grab alcohol. Allah cursed the one who makes alcohol, the one who serves alcohol, the one who delivers alcohol, the one who drinks alcohol, the one who grabs alcohol, all that stuff, right? La'an. May Allah protect us. So I don't want to get involved. So Taman, some looks were, okay. So she grabbed this alcohol. It was a small bottle. Okay, so I was working. The thing that got me nervous was what I was working on my lecture. The Prophet said, so I'm like, no, my image, Islam, oh my God. Right? وَتَخْشَ النَّاسِ You're concerned about people. So then I'm like, okay, I'm working. And I notice her. What was she doing? She was not able to open it. And I'm like, I can't do this. I can't. My heart is bleeding. I want to help her out, but not with alcohol. Right? So then, and she looked at me. So I was like, working. And no eye contact. I'm actually ignoring her tamamen. I'm like, nothing. So then she's struggling. So the guy next to me, he was having big headphones. I remember watching college football. So I said, she wants you. She's like, okay. Yes, ma'am. Can you please open this for me? So he's like, okay. And he was confused. Like, why didn't he open it? So I was just so nervous. It was so, and sometimes you get so nervous. Like, you know what? Just give me this thing. Let's all drink together, right? Because, and sometimes the pressure is so much that it backfires, right? You know, you guys are laughing. How many times there's an accident that happens? Like, oh my God, let me go in. Right or wrong? Sometimes they get so nervous for seeing an accident, they want to just crash in the car. It happens. People just get nervous. Don't tell them I drank alcohol. Allu ana ma shirbt alcohol, right? May Allah bless them. Tell them. Right? So the point being here is that may Allah bless Abdul Kareem. May Allah grant him Jannah, Ya Rab. Wonderful. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. So then, as we were landing, I was very nervous, sarahatan. But am I going to grab it? Wallahi, inkin law aish. Wallahi, they're going to ban me from Delta. I'm not grabbing this thing. May Allah make it easy for us. I'll just go American Airlines. And mom. So then, as I was landing, I said, I have to address this. It's getting out of control. My emotions are just all over the place. So I, you know, please close your laptops and, you know, put your tables back in. And as we were landing, I told the lady, I'm like, I just want to tell you something. I'm so sorry. She's like, why? I'm like, so sorry for that. I know what you're going through this whole time. I did see you struggling opening it. I shouldn't explain to you. It's just because of my religious matter that I was not able. You're like, bro, you gave us a lecture in front of over 600, 700 people. Action is different than talking. It's a whole two different pictures, okay? So then I told her, you know what? I'm so sorry. It's my religion tells me I cannot grab it. I cannot sell it. I cannot hold it. I cannot pour it. I cannot serve it. Anyway. She's like, actually, I was very impressed by you. I'm like, really? This whole time you're impressed. Tell me you're impressed. She's like, actually, I was very impressed by you. And she said the word, I forgot the word. It was a bit big that I had to define it on Google. Forgive me, my vocabulary is okay. And it makes me survive. So I think she said, I'm very impressed by you're very disciplined or something like that. You're very committed to your faith. I was very impressed by that. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. I said, you know what, anything else, I'm gonna bring the bag. It's me. I'm gonna bring your carry-on. I'll clean your shoes for you. I went all out. She's an old lady, relax. My wife is here, relax. She's an old lady. Okay. Wallah, clean her shoes. Hala. Okay. She's a very old lady. Very old. Like really old. Like really old. Okay. Okay. Allah, you can't delete this because it's watched live. Wallah is very old. Okay. Anyhow, so then you do this and then you don't get concerned about people. Yes, sometimes we failed and sometimes you fail, but we have to stand up back again and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 4 minutes left. Eventually, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has a nice wedding and he has the lahm wal khubuz. And she had a wedding in which meat was being served. People used to come to the Prophet's house. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to eat and then they used to leave. They used to eat and they used to leave. But there's a group of people that stayed. You know those people? They come for iftar and they make you miss tarawih. Don't take it personal. No fights after this, right? So may Allah bless you all and grant. Remember, when you feed the people, when you take care of your family, there's also reward, okay? It can possibly be better than tarawih. It's possible, right? Listening to your mom, helping out, and so on. So then, Rasulullah, he had some guests that stayed over for so long that he left his house. His wedding night. Khalas, leave. I have my wife. Come over. They stayed. So the Prophet left. And Anas ibn Malik, he says, I walked with him. Because Anas was a servant of the Prophet. And they're walking. And the Prophet was saying salam to his family. So one of his wives said, so how is your new wife going? Right? So Anas ibn Malik he didn't want to comment. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ, بخير, alhamdulillah. And some said it was actually a dua of barakah. Anyhow, then Anas ibn Malik said, I don't know if I told him or he told me, but eventually the guests left. Then the Prophet ﷺ, finally, when they left, he came in along with Zainab. Check this out. The Prophet walked in, and who? With his wife Zainab. And who was after them? Who's walking? Anas, he's a servant. He said, when I came, the Prophet put a hijab. Hijab? What's hijab? That was the day hijab became an obligation. As I told you, that was before hijab. This whole story was before hijab became wajib. So Anas ibn Malik says, and the hijab became an obligation. So the barakah of Zainab binti Jahsh is the fact that she changed a very bad cultural practice. She got to know more about taqwa, and she was the woman behind the whole hijab being obligated. And Anas said, I couldn't walk in. He didn't say, well, I know how you look like, by the way. No. Rules are rules. They can change the way Allah wants it to change. So final words, brothers and sisters, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you'll be the happiest person alive. And with the 2 minutes I have, I will summarize my lesson in one short story. Fatima bint Qais radiallahu anha, she was married. Eventually, her husband divorced her. When he divorced her, she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet told her, wait the 3 months approximately waiting period for the one who's divorced. Do not accept any proposals. Do not get married to no one until you consult with me first. How beautiful is that? I appreciate it. Very understanding. He's a very busy man, but I want to help this sister out. So Fatima bint Qais, she completes her iddah about 3 months or so. Then she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she tells him, 3 men proposed to me. This is a ni'mah. Allahumma barik. So who are they? One of them is Muawiyah, if I'm not mistaken. And the other one is another Sahabi. And then the third one is Osama ibn Zayd. So the Prophet tells her, as for Muawiyah, he's broke. You will struggle financially with him. I don't think he'll be suitable for you. As for the second one, he has history of not respecting women very much, and sometimes he's actually physical. And he was very transparent. That's how we have to be when someone asks us about marriage. What do you think of this man? What do you think of this woman? You have to be very honest, not backbiting. It's okay. But stay within the limits. So he tells her, go for Osama ibn Zayd. He's the guy. She said, Osama? No. The only reason she said Osama just because she wants to tell him what happened. Osama? No. He said, Osama, trust me. Take Osama. She said, فَتَزَوَّجْتُ. And I took his advice and I married him. She said, فَأَتَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا بِالْخَيْرِ. She said, Allah blessed this marriage in a way حَتَّى the people started to wish and pray their marriage is like my marriage. But you know what's the whole point I want to share with you? Before she married him, the Prophet told her, Ya Fatima, طَاعَةُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ خَيْرٌ لَكِ. Obeying Allah and His Prophet is always good for you. And she took this to her heart. And she said, you know what? I'm going to marry Osama ibn Zayd. And she, her marriage, she said, it has been blessed. It has been phenomenal. And she was very happy with that. And remember this sentence for the rest of your life. Obeying Allah and obeying His Prophet will always be khair and good for you. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.